We are rolling. What's good, everybody? It's your boy, Colin Risen, the one and only gassed up or passed up, gassed up trainer. And I'm here with a couple of my favorite people, a few vegans, some new, some old. And we're here to shed light on what the journey is all about today. So without further ado, let me introduce firstly my pops, Plant-Based G.
Go ahead, yo.
Introduce yourself.
Yo, what up? Plant-Based G, Marlon Risen, Collins pops, 46-year-old, 2-year vegan in the game. Was good, though.
All right. Y'all can tell he work in radio, huh?
Okay. I got that.
He got that.
It's in the system. It's in the DNA.
It's just like that. All right, and then to my right, I have my right-hand lady, Taylor Rose Allen. Go ahead and introduce yourself and what you do.
What's up? I'm Taylor Allen. Do lashes, facials, you know, outside of the beauty world. Been vegan for a little less than Marlon has, but, you know, we're on that vegan
life. We all start somewhere.
Yeah.
We all start somewhere.
Ain't no
Never
going
too
back.
Late. Exactly.
Feel that. All right, so now that we're introduced, so what got you... Taylor, let's start with you. What got you introduced to the vegan lifestyle? Was there a life that you were just living the whole time and then it just became it? What was it?
I would say my whole life. I never was like really inclined to meat. It always kind of grossed me out and never made me feel good. I always got sick when I ate meat. Eventually, I was like, I'm going to just try this, give it a couple weeks and see if I feel any better. Felt great and honestly never went back. I said that I was just going to do it for a few weeks and it never went back.
That's what's up. Okay. And so, Pops, for you, what was it that got you to say, okay, I'm going vegan? Because with you, you've done all, I mean, you're deep in the nutrition lifestyle, so... What was it that made you say, I'm going vegan? Not necessarily, I'm going to try to do this or that, but the veganism and the... Because you
right.
go hard. You
right,
dove
right,
into
right.
it. So what is it that flipped your switch and took it to that level?
Well, I guess the catalyst that actually kind of popped it off was watching What the Health. Peeping What the Health. I'm sure you all probably peeping at this point. But watching What the Health... I'd say probably not even watching What the Health. I'd say watching the first half of What the Health. After getting through the first half of it, I was like, there's no way I can continue to eat this type of food. And back then for me, it was only about trying to take care of my health better because I knew I was getting older. So I was like, you're getting older. There's no reason to continue eating like you're a young cat. So try to constantly improve. So for me, it started off on the health tip. But then as I started watching the documentary even more so, you know, checking out the living conditions of, you know, people who lived in North Carolina around those pig farms, especially people of color, and then the number of cases of cancer and upper respiratory issues and all that, you know, that bothered me. So for me, in addition to wanting to be healthier, I also felt like it was a responsibility to keep my dollars from supporting an industry that was killing off, you know, some of our people. So I was like, you know, if I'm really trying to not only help myself, but really be a contributor, you know, I got to back away from it all. So it was a combination of those two, like I said, people and What the Health that really got it popped off. But I will say this, similar to what Taylor said as far as how she looked at things early on, I told your grandmother probably 3.5, 4 years ago, we were chopping it up. And I just told her randomly, I said, you know what? I said, I think at some point, I'm probably going to do the vegan thing. She was like, why? I mean, like, what? Not why tripping, but just like,
yeah.
What's the reasoning behind it? And I said, I don't know. I said, I was loving chicken, turkey, fish, and all that around then. But I was like, I don't know. I said, just... something. So for me too, similar to Taylor and probably some other people, there was something that had happened way before I actually flipped the switch that was telling me yo, you need to be doing something different. So, right. You know, I just put that into motion, and there you go.
No doubt.
I think it definitely does turn into, like, you start off as one reason, and then you start researching it more and living through it, and it really does turn into, like, you know, for animals also. And
yeah,
yeah. Like, it really becomes the whole circle at the end.
Well, it happens to, I think it happens to, you know, you just said it, and a lot of people that I've talked to also have said the same thing, that it starts off trying to be healthier for a lot of people, then it evolves into, you know, animal activism, animal welfare, what am I doing contributing to these slaughterhouses? It kind of evolves into all of that. But the one thing I will say that every vegan has said is the amount of clarity that they have as far as their brain goes, the thought process, just how you look at life, it changes completely. So
gives you some sort of magic power, I swear.
Yeah, and it's crazy because you, like, I've been walking around thinking I know something. You don't know nothing because you've been clouded with all the nonsense. Because, you know, like, I mean, they always told us as kids, which, you know, they were really lying to us as far as if they believed it. But they always told us as kids, you are what you eat. So if that's the case, why were they feeding us that bullshit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If that was truly the case, why were these adults feeding us that bullshit? Not only the bullshit from the standpoint of, you know, just the unhealthy food, but also all of the anxiety, fear, death that those animals go through right before they die. For some reason, people think they magically just, that all those emotions, that energy just magically goes away. Nah.
That energy definitely transfers.
It transfers.
That's
and
a
so,
living energy.
There you go. Exactly. So that's been good too, you know, real
word
good.
Up. So give us a little bit of your history in the fitness world and kind of, you know, quick 1 to 100 on just, you know, where you're from, what you did, how you lost your weight, how much you weighed, how you got there, all that.
I'll do a quick one. First, just to give some context to everything, because most people don't know all of it, but I'd say the first time I really started paying attention to fitness and food was actually when I was 15 years old. I remember went off, took a trip, came back, was eating all that. I was big as a kid anyway, so I was damn near 280, 290 pounds when I was about 15 years old. Told my mom at the time, yo, I'm gonna do something different. Did the Weight Watchers diet, lost about 90 pounds. So I did that back in high school. Exactly. So I did that in high school. People were tripping. People were like, yo.
I don't even think I knew that tidbit of information.
And that's why the whole... On some real shit, that's why the levels to this, you know, granted, and I'm proud, I feel good about what I did as far as even with losing this 140, 150 this last time, but I'm like, people don't even realize I did that back in the gap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I've done this twice over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's why it's hard for me to understand when people say I can't put my mind to it.
Right.
I did it as a kid.
Yeah.
It's a kid. You know what I mean? But I was doing it because I was like, hey, I want to be better athletically, blah, blah, blah. But I was still eating, you know, consuming animal products. So fast forward, you know, doing powerlifting and all that, all into my, you know, I probably got heavily into, you know, powerlifting, doing all that stuff in my, you know, 20s, wanted to get bigger. So I was actually weighing probably at that time, starting off in 220s, 230s. I was trying to get larger. So I started eating the protein supplements, all the stuff that I was put you on, that we were doing. Back in the day, I said I wanted to be the biggest man, period. That was my thought process. So I got up eventually over time.
I'm going to make sure that I plug a picture right now of what the biggest man eventually looked like so y'all can have an end.
It was crazy. Reference. Yeah, it was crazy. Eventually, the biggest I got up to, which wasn't that long ago, I got up to 379 pounds one time.
I was there when I saw.
It was crazy. I was like, damn. I mean, even my people was like, yo, you almost 400 pounds. Now, mind you, as you know, it was a 400 that was active. It wasn't a dormant 400. But anyways, long story short, fast forward, you know, after a certain period of time, you're like, you know, I can't be walking around like this. I'd already given up beef and pork as far as my diet went, but I still knew that holding that much weight was too much. So always been real active as far as fitness goes. And so everything from the powerlifting, to, you know, I've done the boxing with my man Marcus Hicks, did a little Brazilian jiu-jitsu with him too, you know, train with you right now. So I've done a variety of things as far as working out goes to keep my body active. But in terms of taking that next step on a different level, it wasn't until I got my diet right. That's when I got super tight with my shit. You know, before that I was doing something, or at least I thought I was, but it wasn't until I got my diet right to where it got me at today. It's crazy because, hell, I got, talking about 380, I got on the scale, actually after I trained with you yesterday, I was tripping. I got on the scale, I was weighing like 218.
Damn.
Yeah, exactly, that shit's crazy.
Plus it's gotta help a lot with like not being as sluggish and like more energy when you're working out.
Everything, from sluggishness to sluggish thoughts to.
Yeah, because you got that soreness remedy that you get concocted. What's that?
What I've been doing is I've been doing a concoction of burdock root. Then I've got some, and it's slipping my mind right now. I got a couple of other. I got a couple of other herb joints that I've been fooling with. But the key is the burdock root, because the burdock root is the magic of all of that. What I try to do is consume at least one cup of burdock root on a daily basis. It helps out with everything from inflammation, cleanses the blood, helps out as far as strengthening your immune system. It's pretty much kind of a do-it-all as far as keeping your body where it needs to be. So I'm able to work out with you, still get in another workout either at 5 a.m. or later on in the evening.
It blows my mind.
And I don't wake up, you know, feeling like shit, which you're not supposed to. Now, you mix in that, you mix in the diet, you know, you've got a magic situation.
Are you
but
making that into like a tea?
Yeah. Actually, what I'll do is I'll actually let it sit overnight. That way, it can get good and strong. But when I tell you it's magical, you know, it's one of those things where once you start to consume it, you start to wonder where all of your aches went. You know what I mean? Like for me, I'm tripping because I'm like, I'm 46, yet my body feels better than it did when I was in my early 20s. You'll have to try. In fact, I got some over there. I'll make sure I give you all some before you bounce. That way you all can try it. But the burdock root is definitely one of the magic potions. And what's big as far as people who train heavy is keeping the inflammation down.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? When the inflammation gets crazy, that's when you feel crazy and things become more of a task. But anyways, yeah, so I try to incorporate everything from the eating to the active lifestyle to all the other elements and minerals that you need as far as, you know, keeping the shit healthy.
No doubt. So Taylor, I want to know from a still more introductory information, from a beautician standpoint, how different is the change in your skin and your, you know, just your systems in general? How much does it help whenever you're consuming plant-based materials versus all of this other processed food, red meat, all that stuff?
I've never really had too big of a skin problem. I'm sure for people who do, I think it would really
speak up.
I think it would really help a lot with like acne scars and all that as well, as having clear skin, but that was never a problem for me specifically. The one thing for me it's been a big change is I get really red. Get like my blood flow wasn't flowing as well as it is now that I'm plant-based, for sure. I think my skin tone is more even now that I'm plant-based. But I have heard tons of people say, you know, and I learned this in beauty school, is like what you eat has a lot to do with how your skin's gonna look.
Everything to do with it, everything.
Yeah.
I know for me, my skin has changed.
Even like with the products I use too, because I try to use like mainly
vegan
products.
Vegan products, yeah.
And I
you
feel
notice
like that
how clean they are too. They don't have as much alcohol
in
them.
Oh yeah,
so
alcohol will dry out your skin so fast.
Yeah.
Some, you know, a vegan skincare product is versus something else that's made from, I don't know how it would not be vegan, like what they would put in it exactly, but I'm sure there's oils and
I guess
things that they pull from fats and stuff like that.
Yeah, I guess more when I say vegan skincare, it's more just like natural skincare.
Right.
Not necessarily vegan, which vegan too, because they do like have lines that are tested on animals, we avoid that. So that's more the vegan standpoint of the skincare, but when I'm saying vegan, I mean more just like chemical-free things, natural, which obviously, like he said, are gonna take away the dryness in your skin, all the alcohol and the chemicals they put in that. will dry you up, give you more scars if you go out in the sun, because the sun reacts with those chemicals. Using
that's
natural
the big
stuff.
Thing right there, that heat, the heat reaction.
Heat reaction and the sun rays hitting some of those chemicals on your skin can actually, in like the end, basically cook it. You end up with worse problems than you had before when you're older. You don't see it now because it's like a mask on you now, but once you start aging,
there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay for the artificial that we use at some point. Our bodies weren't built for that.
No. Yeah, and that's why lactose intolerance.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
That's funny.
There's no such thing as lactose intolerance.
They said, I saw something
maybe
where.
Maybe we're just not supposed to drink it.
This doctor said he doesn't believe in it in the sense that, you know, from a plant-based point of view, that obviously we're all lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
But he said, at some point, we all become lactose intolerant.
Absolutely.
Like, there's an overconsumption of something that we were supposed to have, and then it's like, okay, our body needs no more.
Yeah, I mean, it's
never needed any.
No.
I mean, since what other species of animals will suck the milk of another animal?
Yeah.
It doesn't have. You don't see a cat with a dog, or you don't see any of that stuff. We're the only species that will consume the milk of another species, and then not only will we do that, we'll do it beyond infancy. So that it makes you wonder, because you say, okay, wait a minute. Okay, which of us really wants to be as big as a cow? When I see people consume milk, I'm like, okay, let's think about this for a split second. So, I don't know anyone. I mean, maybe a football player, maybe. But even those cats, they're not trying to look like baby cows. Therefore, why would you consume baby cow products? You know what I mean? So sometimes we just have to use just a little common, sense and a little thought and say, okay, is this really made for me?
Yeah.
You know, and if there's another species that's made to consume it, especially while they're young for specific reasons, then maybe it shouldn't be for, you know what, better yet, if that particular animal has to be impregnated in order to supply food or products for us.
So gross.
That might be an indication that it's not for us.
Via the hand of a man.
Who came up with that? Like, who
that's
one
great.
Day was just like, I'm gonna drink
but that's the,
milk
the,
from a cow.
And then, who was the first person to think about how to impregnate a cow?
That's,
that's the part where I'm like, who thought of that? Someone thought of that. Who was that guy? Who was the first one to stick his forearm off into a cow?
And we just think that's normal. That's the
I don't.
Part. Well, no, but like,
America's
a whole.
That's why they hide it.
Yeah.
That's why, they don't put it out there because, they don't want people to... to be scared off from it. And people don't want to see it either.
No.
The truth hurts. Because when you see that, good and well, you're like, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
But it requires you to change your lifestyle, which most people just aren't willing to do, even though they know it's for the good.
Accountability is not... No one wants to be held accountable for something. It's the same in the sense of slavery. No one on either side wants to be held accountable for the lack of action, the repercussions of what happened. It's the same. This was a systemic slavery into a propagandic food system, and which started, I don't really know when all that started, but
it's crazy that it still exists.
it's not crazy to me, just looking at the trend in technology and how long we've had the access to the information we have and how many people have been willing to put it out. It hasn't been that long compared to the propaganda that it followed, which was, this is a part of a balanced diet and a good breakfast and this, that, and the other, and to be strong, to be fit, to be healthy, to be whatever it is, you have to be consuming these things to grow your bone. To grow your bones, you have to eat.
Like, we don't naturally grow our bones.
You have to become a cannibal, basically.
It doesn't. That doesn't. I mean, for stronger bones, they would say consume. For stronger bones, consume the milk of another animal. The logic of it makes no sense. The fact that we have to go outside ourselves and our natural food system, that's crazy. But your point, propaganda. It was a marketing scheme. I mean, that's really, you know, what at the end of the day, all of this was a marketing scheme. Yeah. Because if they could make money off of it, then they were like, hey, you know what? We need to tell these people that they actually need it.
Right.
So let's make sure kids know, hey, you need your milk. Let's get this Got Milk campaign where we've got, you know, all of these people with effing milk mustaches. You know, the crazy part is when you look at those Got Milk campaigns, especially when you look at some of the athletes that have been involved, and I specifically look at, you know, people of color, because for instance, African Americans are 80% more likely than any other group of people to be lactose intolerant, yet you got pictures of African Americans with milk mustaches.
God.
I mean, that, you know, there's just, it lets you know that they could have cared less about how it was affecting the people consuming it.
Yep.
As long as dollars could be made. And that's the problem. You know, that's the issue that we have.
So, we're in Dallas. You've been to LA, you've been to LA. How much different is the vegan lifestyle in LA than it is in Dallas?
I haven't been to LA since I've been vegan, but I tell you, every time I get on Instagram and I find something that looks bomb, I click on the location, LA. I gotta go. I'm gonna just go up there for a weekend and strictly just eat. Go everywhere I can.
You could do that.
They got everything there. It'd be so easy to live in. If you're living in LA, why are you not vegan?
I mean,
that's right.
That was the whole point of the first trip that I ever even took out there, was we did the 30 dishes in 3 days.
And 30, you said you didn't even feel bad after eating.
I was ready to eat when I got home. I was hungry. 30 dishes in 3 days. You could not eat 30 meat containing dairy meals in 3 days and be okay.
No,
never. You would probably be in the hospital.
Yo, I'm sitting there snacking on a box of, I mean, these dates were so good. I've never had dates that good. I still haven't found any.
He was looking for them.
Yo, I was, and I got some, and they were trash.
Uh-huh. He ate like two of those.
Them dates I had in LA were stupid. But the point is, you know, being able to eat all that it wasn't to say, you know, I get to eat whatever I want when I want to, but it's to show you that food is not holding you back like what you're probably eating right now is doing. Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely. I mean, yeah, LA, just as far as the vegan options and just the vegan culture overall, I mean, it's almost like that's just what it is. It's almost as if you can just feel that vegan vibe throughout, even at the spots that you dip to where it's not an entire vegan restaurant, because
options.
They all have vegan options.
Yeah,
so.
Sure.
With that, it gives just kind of a whole nother different element as far as the feel of the vegan food. But yeah, definitely out there in LA, you got so many vegan food options. I mean, the list is crazy. I mean,
it's literally endless.
I mean, it is. I mean, there's so many good places. I could start listing, but I couldn't stop because there's that many. And then there's so many that I haven't gone to yet. But LA definitely has, I'd say, as far as just the largest vegan scene kind of culture type joint, LA definitely has that. But what I will say on the flip side, though, which I found out going to New York, and actually a couple of people who are from New York but live in LA, both Sabrina and Jess, they both are from New York but live in LA. They told me, yeah, LA's got
New York.
Yeah. So they both were like, yo, LA got the mad options, no doubt, great food. But they said, New York got that little something, though.
Really?
You know, shit, man. When I tell you New York's got some spots, New York got some spots. Like.
But I would imagine that those spots are spots, though.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah,
all
I mean, they, New York spots, be just different. Plus,
yeah.
It's New York, so
exactly.
your whole energy is like exactly. One spot in Brooklyn, Champs.
Yeah.
Crazy. Like, Champs may be it's definitely one of the favorite spots I've ever gone to. It's crazy. It's a diner, so it's got that whole diner energy to it. And then the food looks stupid. I mean, everything looks crazy. But it's that fast-paced New York energy with it, too. So it give it a whole nother kind of vibe when you're on the street out front. Because you post it up, you know what I mean, in New York like that. So it give it a whole nother energy. Then another spot called Seasoned Vegan in Harlem. Nice little joint, jazzy joint, too. It's in Harlem. So, you know, it's different like that. You know what I mean?
That's whole culture.
Yeah, you're getting a different kind of culture. So New York's got it too. I mean, but then again, Dallas got crazy.
Dallas
on the come up.
Dallas,
sure.
I mean, I tell my people, you know, that I fool with in LA, I'm like, yo, y'all, quiet as kept, Dallas got some crazy vegan food. And I'm like, to the point to where I've almost got spoiled, you know, just because I just expect everything to be like at the crib.
Right.
But yeah, Dallas has a lot. Dallas has a whole lot. Yeah, for anybody who ain't been to Dallas, but you vegan or you ain't vegan, try the vegan spots in Dallas. There's a number of them. It's crazy options.
And see, that's the thing with me. Like, at this point, if you're visiting another city somewhere big, you might as well go and try something.
Try something new.
You're going somewhere different, try something different.
I agree.
On the food tip, because you'll unlock, I mean, you'll completely change your life, because you'll have your perception of life literally is flipped upside down.
Yes, there's so much good food out there. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, because you got a lot of good options as far as vegan food goes. But I say sidebar right quick, because Taylor and I were talking about this earlier. There's a ton of good vegan food options. You should go out, you should try as many as you can, find out what you like, what you don't like, but you truly won't be able to enjoy this until you cook.
Yeah.
Once
you
start to
cook,
and what you can't be is, you can't be afraid to go in the kitchen and make a mistake or try something that you don't like. I mean, you know, what I tell people who ask me, yo, so you know, how do you cook like this? How you do this? I'm like, literally, I treat the kitchen as a blank canvas. I'm an artist, I'm a painter, and I go in there and I create whatever I want to. And sometimes the picture ain't the way I want it to be.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's life, though. You know.
You gotta try everything you can. That's how you know what you like and what you don't like.
Yeah, and that's the fun in it. The fun in it is, you know that what you're doing for yourself is good.
Yeah.
So that in itself should make you say, hey, I want to be, you know, more part of the process. You can't be scared to try. You can't be scared to, you know, look at other people cooking on YouTube or IG or whatever and say, yo, let me try and do what it is that they do. You got to open up to, you know, getting in the kitchen and throwing some stuff in the skillet in the oven, doing some raw stuff, make some sushi. You know what I mean? Try some different stuff.
That's,
you know,
what I'm
part
do
of the
is
fun.
Make some sushi.
Yeah, I was thinking about that last night. I saw someone
making
sushi.
There's some good sushi recipes out there. I've made it a couple of times. It's fun making the sushi rolls.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I would make one of the
really
pizza quesadilla sushi rolls.
You can get stupid with it. I mean,
I did it.
Yeah, because
I know it does.
You can do all kind of stuff like that. Because
don't you
it's
feel
yours.
Like it's even more exciting, like when you actually do like make something bomb. Like it's like, man.
Yo,
it's vegan and it's better than real food, and I just killed it. You know,
it makes you step back and look at
it's
that
even more
thing
exciting.
And be like, yo, this is why I love doing this.
Sleep a whole lot better.
Yeah, because you know what you're doing, you know what you're putting into yourself, and then you want to tell other people about it so
exactly.
they can do the same thing.
I feel like I'm more of a foodie now than I was before, and I've always loved food.
You know, and I'm similar to you. I've always loved food.
That was the one thing that I remember. I don't remember who you said it to you early in the day with the station, but you said it was one of the bosses that had told you, if there's one thing, you know, that you should always value is a good meal.
Yo, it was Dick. Yo, rest
Dick,
in peace,
yeah,
rest
yeah,
in peace,
Dick.
Yo, because he, and this is granted in my crazy eating days, but Dick, he and I would go to some high-end spots for lunch. And I'll never forget one time I asked him, I was like, yo, bro, I mean, like, we eating good in the middle of the day. Like, the middle of a work day, like the middle of a Tuesday, we eating, like, super good. You know what I mean? And I thought I was eating good. We going to high-end spots, and he was like, say, motherfucker. You know, raspy voice, too. Say, raspy New York Russian cat. You know what I mean? say, motherfucker, if there's anything you gonna do, you eat fucking good. That's what you're gonna do with me. We gonna eat good. You know what I mean? And I was like, word. He was like, no, fuck that. He's like, eat good.
And keeps so you going.
Yeah. I told Colin that back in the day. I was like, we were eating good, yeah. But that elevated it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Hearing it from, you know, a cat who I respected, and you know, and that made me go in even harder as far as, nah, I've earned the right to eat good every meal. See, some people feel like, you know what, we'll eat a good meal on Sunday.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or
I'll work out to eat a good meal.
That's not,
give and take.
What I tell people is you're cutting yourself short. You know what I mean? You ain't living your very best life. For me, every meal should be a freaking experience.
Yeah. And you don't feel bad after it either.
Nah. And sometimes, you know, for me, the solid meal, like, you know, one meal I had over the weekend, which was on point, was a bowl of seeded grapes. I felt great about them joints. I was like, I got the seeded grapes. I got the non-manufactured, all of that. I got the joints that you get on the island type situation. I was like,
the fat joints.
Yo, the big joints, you cracking the seeds? No, I was like, this is high quality. I was like, this is a high quality meal I'm doing right here. A bowl of just some seeded grapes. So
it feels so good.
That's different. Right there.
It's different. It's so different. I mean, it's so different. So
even if you're not on an island, you feel like you're on an island.
Absolutely. It takes you there. You know what I mean? Because you know what you're doing is you eating off the earth the way you're supposed to.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So whenever I'm able to find good foods like that, whether it's, you know, some, you know, solitary joint like just a bowl of grapes, or whether I'm doing a different type of meal set, when I eat good like that, it puts me in a different mindset. So that's one of the reasons, or one of the main reasons, why I love doing this joint.
Gotta love it. So what's your favorite spot in Dallas right now, Taylor?
Ooh, that's hard. Man, they're really all so good. I'm gonna have to go, you know, I'm Cajun, I love my soul food. I'm gonna have to go with Vegan Food House. I've never had something I didn't like from there. Mm. And I never thought I would eat boudin or anything close to boudin again. They had some boudin balls there, brought me right back.
Boudin
balls are crazy. It's so good. You know, that place is crazy.
There's a lot of good ones out there, but I can't get over how good everything I've had at the Vegan Food House.
It's so good. I crave it every week, and I'm just like, look forward to making the time to go out there when I can.
Yeah.
This is so good. I'll make that drive to Oak Cliff for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Vegan Food House goes in.
All right, so if there were three tips that you had to give someone just so that they could get started, let's break this into two categories, the novice, the get started, the I don't know anything, and all I know is that when I start this, people are gonna talk shit about me. Let's give those people some advice. And then the people that are halfway into it, that are questioning if it's really gonna work out the way that they want it to, if they're gonna get what they wanna get out of it, let's give them some advice as well, since we've got a little bit of all these realms here. So Taylor, for a novice, for someone new getting into, you know, getting into eating, what would you say would be beneficial for them to make sure that they have on their to-do list?
The biggest tip I would have is, like, people always ask me if I started off, like, just cutting a few things out at a time. And I think the best way to go about it is just cold turkey. Like, you just gotta say you're gonna go for it. Like, so many people, if I had a dollar for every time someone said, I could be vegan, but I'm like, okay, well, then be vegan, you know? Like, do it. Make it happen. Like, you just gotta say you're gonna do it, put your mind to it, don't go back. And, like, I mean, you're gonna mess up, you're gonna, you know, eat some things that aren't vegan by accident, you're gonna have your moments, but, like, you just gotta go out there and start trying things. You know, it's really, I say cut it cold turkey and just go for it, because if not, you're gonna end up going back, because, you know, you get lazy with it. You just gotta be strong about it, keep a strong mindset, discipline. And go for it. Yeah, discipline, for sure. It ain't for the weak, but once you start figuring it out, you love it, and you feel so great, and everything's worth it.
What would you say, self-talk-wise, for the newbies is important?
It's a few things early on that that I tell people who are looking to transit. The first thing that I try to tell people, like Taylor, I'm more of a cold turkey type.
That's not for everyone. Too. Yeah,
exactly. I'm like you, where I'm more of a cold turkey. Whenever I get some good information, I like to make the transition immediately. But what I do tell people who I know it's going to be a little bit more difficult for them is, I'm like, hey, if nothing else, why don't you try to start off with just like a meatless Mondays?
Yeah.
I'm like, if you could just do one day a week where you say, you know, I'm focused intently on, you know, eating, you know, plant-based meals for the entire day. So I tell people, if nothing else, you know, give that a shot. And one thing, you know, sidebar that people don't realize is, a lot of people have vegan meals already.
Yeah, they just don't.
They just don't realize it's a vegan meal because they don't think about it like that. So I'm like, yo, some of the things you already eaten, you know, that avocado and tomato toast situation, that's actually a vegan meal. And they're like, oh, you know, I didn't think about it like that. Well, yeah, it is. You know what I'm saying? So
you don't give up everything.
Nah, you know what I mean? So with that, I tell people, start off with maybe one day. You know what I mean? Try it out like that and see how good you feel by doing that. But once they actually get to the point to where they say, hey, I actually want to, you know, go all in, you know, go through the process and make the change. You know, there are a few things that I say. First off, I'm like, don't feel bad, nervous, or scared at the fact that you don't know everything.
Yeah.
It's okay. I didn't know everything. I had to go about it learning and trying new things. And I'm like, take the time to go to the grocery store and just kind of walk around and see where the vegan foods are. Go through the vegan section, ask some people that work there, yo, what are some of the vegan options that I have? Get online, look at people cooking on YouTube, check out different foods on Instagram. Give yourself the type of energy and motivation that sometimes it can take in order to go through with a big lifestyle change like this. So I'm like, dive all the way in with the joint. Look at the different food options, all of that, you know, learn how to, you know, prepare different things. You know, if you're not someone that cooks on a regular basis, you know, start off small, but the key is, you know, not being scared or not being fearful of doing something that's new. So if it's cooking, you know, that may be it. If it's going to a grocery store, you typically don't do it, that may be it. All of those things are part of the process as far as becoming consistent with the vegan lifestyle.
Definitely gonna be doing a lot of sitting in the store and reading ingredients
to
begin with.
Yeah, but you
I
learn
remember
to,
spending hours at Trader Joe's trying to figure out if something was vegan or not. But
you're right. But you learn to embrace it. Learn to embrace it because it's your body.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So you have to learn to embrace the entire process. So going to the grocery store, looking at the ingredients, you know, watching, you know, different whether it's a documentary or different, you know, informative items that, you know, teach us more about, you know, food and the good foods we can eat.
There's some apps too. I have one, I don't know what it's called, but paid like a dollar for it, and it has every fast food restaurant, every well-known place, and you can look at the vegan options, like things that people
absolutely
might not know are vegan that are vegan. And I mean, you can make it work wherever you're going.
No, but you're right. No. You bring up a good point as far as technology and the age that we're in now, where we've got different things that can assist us as far as finding good vegan food. So yeah, and it's all at our fingertips for the most part, and really at the end of the day, it's just a matter of, do you really want to do it? Because people come up with excuses all the time. there's no good excuse. There's absolutely no good excuse. It's more a matter of, you know, how bad do you want to improve your health? How bad do you want to contribute to, you know, helping out as far as, you know, climate change goes? When you start looking at animal agriculture and shit, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things you got to look at and say, okay, what's my contribution to me and, you know, all living beings, including, you know, this earth that I'm living on? So at some point, I think people start to look at a bigger picture and say, you know, actually it has more to do with, you know, it's bigger than me and my desire to eat this steak.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's much bigger than that. It's not only about how we treat our bodies, but, you know, how we treat other living things, but also the fact that, you know, the earth we live on, we only get one of these joints.
You know, I think you posted something that really stuck with me. It was like, eat what your body needs, not what your body wants.
Absolutely.
And I think that all the time. Every time, like, I really want something or I'm craving something that's not vegan, I just remind myself that. And
it goes to the crave, too, because people say, oh, I'm craving a burger. No, no, no. Your body's craving nutrients.
But do you need that?
Yes.
But you need your body, pancakes.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's learning what your body is truly asking for. Your body ain't asking for a piece of cake.
No.
Your body's never, your body is asking for something that it needs for that moment. That may be something sweet, which may mean getting you some grapes, strawberries, doing a nice little food bowl.
You can find you some plenty of vegan cobblers and things like that.
True, you don't have to get rid of the whole dessert idea. No, you don't. And actually some really good vegan desserts.
Absolutely.
Reverie Bakery.
Absolutely.
They got some real good cheesecake.
So yeah, so you've got options, you know, and the key is knowing that just because you change your lifestyle as far as what you eat doesn't mean you're going to die from the shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, as you can tell, I mean, Taylor's surviving just fine. You fine. I think I'm going to survive too. So it's like, y'all, I think we're going to be all right. I think, you know, we all doing okay in all honesty. So
I've never felt better.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
You know, and I will say this right quick too, just because I know it's top of mind with little dude Jaden Smith and, you know, his parents jumping in because they said he was looking, you know, gray and all this stuff in the face. Oh. Let me just say this. Just because you're vegan doesn't mean you're healthy.
No.
So let's make sure that you distinguish it because, you know, especially
true.
You got a young cat like that. Definitely need nutrients and minerals for, you know, all the activities that he's doing mentally and physically. If you're only eating once a day, maybe twice a day, but you're living the kind of lifestyle where you forget to eat altogether,
then
your skin color is going to change.
Yeah.
The way you look and think is going to change. Therefore, people might look in and say, hey, maybe that lifestyle is not for you. That's not the way that this goes when you talk about being a healthy vegan. Being a healthy vegan is obviously, you know, eating when your body asks for it, but also trying to eliminate, and this is what I tell people, eliminate the number of ingredients on the food items you're eating.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you look at
it
from that point and you say, okay, if I look at the ingredients on this particular item, I want it to be, you know, maybe, you know, three or less, and you get more of that from the produce section.
Because
you pick up a piece of broccoli and you say, hey, what did this have in it? Broccoli. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it gets no easier than that. So if you start to look at things from that standpoint, stay out of the middle aisles of the grocery store. Stay in the section where you can actually touch and feel the food. Things will be okay. And the thing about it is, it's actually fun to do so. Most people have been taught to believe that eating healthy is not fun. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's just not a smart way to look at things. Eating healthy, I mean, Styles P said it. Eating healthy is the coolest shit there is. You know what I mean? I mean, health literally is wealth. Okay, how much money you have, it doesn't matter. What you got access to, if your health is poor, you are poor. Give a shit what you buy. If your health is poor, you are just as poor.
I was telling someone today, like, I rarely ever eat salads, like, but I eat healthy. It's just, like, I make it fun. Like,
absolutely.
Eat kale burgers, you know, cool stuff that's not
absolutely
a salad. I can't remember the last time I ate a salad. Like,
no, but I know most people, who look at, you know, us vegans think
we eat rabbit food.
We at the salad bar on the regular.
Yep. No.
That's crazy. I will never be a salad bar dude.
I do not like salad.
Nah.
I rarely eat it.
Now, and you know what? And part of my issue early on too was, I used to think that's what vegans ate.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
You know what I mean? So that's why I was like, I could never do that. I'm never gonna do that because I'm not just gonna be a rabbit. You know, but once I got more knowledge on options that we have, then I said, you know, it's time to do something different. So there you go.
Something I find interesting is that we promote to athletes and you know, people of such that we need more collagen intake from animals. Instead of saying, which we say
we say we want the things that the animals have. We say we want stronger bones, we want stronger ligaments, this, that, and the other. But instead of creating a dietary format that follows the same of these animals, because I don't hear anyone say that they want to be like, they want to be strong as a lion. I understand you want to be fast as a cheetah. Okay. I won't even have the conversation. I'll let you go. But whenever you're talking about strong as an ox, you're talking about a grazing animal. An animal that eats grass. So if you want to be literal, rabbit food all day long. So it's not about, you know, it's not about what it is that you're eating, what it contains. It's about attaining the attributes that you're searching for through the most pure methods. And when you do that, you find that you don't have upper respiratory issues, inflammation, aching knees and joints and things like that. And, you know, I don't know the movie they just put out, but
Game Changers.
Game Changers. I haven't seen it, but, you know, that just goes to show at least the recognition of the longevity, because that's what everybody that's doing that is trying to focus on with the younger people, is being able to sustain the lifestyle that you live throughout your 40s, 50s, 60s without having to get in a wheelchair every other day because your back just starts spazzing out and you can't help it. So, you know, it's propaganda. And,
you know, that goes back to the whole skincare thing too, because people put collagen in their skincare products. And once again, if you just eat what you're supposed to, you don't have to put animal products in your skincare.
No, you're right.
It's a big skincare thing. People use collagen.
Yeah, you absolutely. And, you know, I think a lot of times when people will, for whatever reason, we use animals often as far as analogies as to how big or how strong we want to be. Well, at the end of the day, if you look at the strongest animals on the planet, all of them eat plants. Yeah. Elephants, orangutans, I mean, you know, you look at these animals eat plants. You know, so there's a reason they are the way they are. They're eating, you know, exactly what we should be eating. So, you know, when you start to look at logic, you know, it makes sense that, you know, we should be eating plants, we should be eating more plants. And also look at the fact that when people say, you know, like, you know, they look at some of these other animals like lions and tigers and what they eat. Number one, we're not living off the land like that.
Yeah.
So let's stop it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's, I hate that excuse.
Number one, yeah, we're not living off the land like that. I mean, number two, none of us are running up to an animal and sinking our teeth in it like those animals do.
We're eating processed meat. That's a big difference.
Yeah, if it was a natural process.
Yeah.
That's
what I always say. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
If it was a natural process, we should be able to do just like a lion.
Exactly.
Pick up a kitty cat that's walking by right now and take a bite out of it.
Exactly.
But none of us would do that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
None of us would do that because we're like, no, that's ridiculous to think so. So if that's the case, then why would we consider eating any of those things when we wouldn't sink our teeth in? We have to cook all of those items. It's something those people leave out. When they talk about these animals that eat other animals, they also don't cook them first.
Right, and somehow it doesn't work with our bodies if we don't cook it.
Yeah, so when you start to look at just the logic of it all, some people will say, oh, well, you know, if you look back in history, well, check this out, we're not back then. You know what I mean? And different people were operating, in, you know, at different times for different reasons. And I can't speak to all of that, but at the same time, they were living off the land in some of those situations. So, you know, it was a different circumstance. We have access to every healthy fruit, vegetable item that there is. So with that being said, to me, it makes it a no-brainer. You know what I mean? As far as what we should and what we shouldn't be eating. But again, like I said, shit, if you were made to eat meat, step outside and, you know, bite a dog in the butt. You know what I mean? And eat that joint. If you really think you're supposed to do that. None of us, that's crazy.
Yeah.
None of us would do that for multiple reasons. So we got to quit talking like that, you know?
I think, though, being vegan gives you that mental clarity to make that make sense. Almost.
Yeah.
But, like, it might be a little harder for people who aren't to understand it. Because I feel like ever since I've been vegan, I mean, meat, I ate meat my whole life, but it grosses me out even the smell of it now.
Yeah.
So,
it's just
that mental clarity really hits you.
No, it does. It absolutely does. And I say this for anyone who hasn't done it yet, you know, Colin's been able to experience it. But if you eat meat, just take the time, you know, one day, go peep the spot where they getting your meat together. Make your way to a slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And watch the process as far as the animals going into the joint. And just kind of hang out and just see what that energy is like. And then tell me that you still want to do the same thing. And if you do, hey, that's on you. For me, on multiple levels, and I mean multiple levels, I said, this is absolutely the wrong thing for me to have been doing, and I'll never do it again. So, you know, like I said, I mean, I don't mind walking through a garden, taking a look at tomatoes and all the other stuff that's growing, cucumbers and whatnot. I don't mind walking through, looking at it, picking something and eating something. You know, to me, that seems normal, but you're going to eat meat, you know, go check out a slaughterhouse, see what you think about it. You know, it's not what that is.
That was not... First of all, you know, I appreciate every opportunity that I'm given to meet other people and experience the things they've experienced that got them in their journey to where they wanted to be. But when I tell you that I did not want to go to this slaughterhouse for the very reason of I knew the complex that was to be started as soon as I got there.
Yep.
When we pulled up, we not the first people there. You already got people, signs out, I mean, the whole shebang. And so we get there, we get out of the car, and I try to keep a little bit of a distance, just enough to where it's like, because I was recording and doing all that stuff too, so I was trying to just observe and capture. And it worked for about 20, 25 minutes until the truck started to come in with the pigs. And so that's sad. When the truck drivers even stop there so the vegans can give the pigs water. The truck drivers stop and wait and let the people outside give the pigs water before they get into the slaughterhouse. And then after it's been a certain amount of time to where the truck driver's legally obligated or whatever it may be, he has to go, you know, then he drives on in there, throws up the peace sign to everybody. And I mean, that lets you know that he feels the compassion and the energy from everyone that he has to come in contact with on that. And I would never want to be a dude that has to drive those pigs in there and take that feeling back home of all these people out there that
How do you live like that?
Yo.
You gotta kinda shut stuff out. Yeah. That's the thing. For me, I don't want to live the type of lifestyle where I've got to close myself off to certain things.
To the truth.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when it's something that I have to do day in, day out. Because, you know, whenever, you know, like you said, I mean, whenever you people know, it's like we were at the, you know, Farmer John, which is outside of L.A. We were at Farmer John's slaughterhouse. And whenever you check in the baby pigs that pull up, first off, they're baby pigs, I believe they're typically about 6 months old.
Yeah, so 6 months.
6 months
That's
old.
When they kill them?
Yes. Yeah, they're only 6 months old. One of the bigger issues, too, is the fact that they're typically on average weighing around 400 pounds, which lets you know.
At 6 months.
That lets you know everything that they're doing to these animals to get them to that size. A ton of antibiotics, a ton of hormones, a ton of different medicines in order to keep them as healthy as they can be in order to process the food. Because they don't care about all the issues. All they want to know is this pig going to be healthy enough to where we can sell this joint at the store once we chop it up? Mm-hmm. Now, I tell you, the last time that I went, when I went over to Farmer John, I had never seen necessarily the dead pigs off in that joint, because there weren't any last time, I don't believe, while we were there. But this last time that I went by myself and I did the joint, there were a couple of pigs that were dead off in there, you know, just from the actual travel, you know, from where they were raised on the way to the slaughterhouse. Yeah. So you looking off in there, you see a pig that ain't moving, you know what I mean? And so other pigs are stepping all on it because they're trying to get to the water that we're feeding them You know what I mean? So they're fighting each other to the point where now you're looking at them, they've got, you know, blood on them, you know, different bruises and different marks because they're dehydrated. You know, there's piss and shit all off in there. So on multiple levels, number one, that's just not the, this, for me, that's just not the way that I would want to do any living being, especially when it's not a situation that I have to, but no living being deserves that. Number two, the fact that people are willing to consume these animals after they've gone through that is crazy. And you can see the fear in their eyes. You can see, you know, tears running down some of these animals' faces where you're looking and you're like, well, these animals feel what they're going through. You know, they absolutely feel what they're going through. And I think to myself, what would it be like if, for the most part, I knew I had 6 months before I was going to be chopped up and ate? Just because that was the way things were set up. I was like, you know, mentally, I don't know how I could handle that. So I'm thinking, okay, this is, and granted, you know, we're a little bit different than animals, but these animals are smart, and they're able to pick up energies on certain things. So knowing that, and then you allow yourself to consume all of that energy that's put off in it, you know, you're giving yourself a lot of reasons to be unhealthy. You're actually giving yourself a lot of reasons to mentally get thrown off. Because when you look at the antibiotics and the hormones and all that, you think about the number of years that that stuff is accumulated in your body. Mm-hmm. I'm like, there's a reason sometimes people don't feel on the up and up. You know, besides the health part, part of it too is the mental side of what are we putting in ourselves? Mm-hmm. You know, what are we putting? It's not just about the experiences that we see out here. Now, what are we putting inside of ourselves that actually affects the way that we view and absorb what's happening out here? The same stuff is happening, but different people are interpreting mm-hmm. it different. So when you start to break it down on that level, then it's like, now I just need to change my lenses. Sorry. You know what I mean?
I don't think I could like, even handle that, honestly. Like, I don't think I could go to a slaughterhouse.
Yeah, it's
that.
A lot. It's a lot. I mean, a lot of people terrible. Have trouble with it. A lot of people have trouble with it. Like,
it's
they really.
Be watching those movies.
Yeah, it's one of those things where people have trouble and they say, yo, like, I'm really having some trouble just digesting, you know, what's happening. And, you know, a lot of people get real emotionally first time because they're like, yo, this is too much. Yeah. But in order for people to really get a taste of what it's like, sometimes you have to be able to say, here's what I saw and experienced versus just talking about it.
Right.
Sometimes you have to say, here's what I saw and experienced. And for me, it's gotten to the point to where whenever I go out west, you know, I feel like, you know, that's just a small token of my time that I could give just to be like, yo, let me go out here and show some love, show some support, get with some people who, you know, have the same, you know, values as far as, you know, animal, you know, rights are concerned. And it just, and, you know, it's just the right thing to do. But I encourage, you know, everyone. I don't care if it's, there's a ton of spots in Texas, there's all kind of spots you can go to, but it'll open up your eyes to some things that have been happening that we've just been shielded, you know, shielded to. So
if you don't believe it on a movie, I mean, go see it for yourself.
Yeah, no, you should. You should. I mean, it's the shit that's going in your body.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like, if you eat it,
people don't want to know where it came from.
You know what I mean? But you know, it's crazy. I mean, people don't want to know, you know, the food that you know, the food that's gonna actually go inside. I mean, eating food, putting something inside of you like that that's gonna stay with you, that's the most intimate thing you can do. You know what I mean? So the fact that people don't wanna see that whole process, it doesn't make any sense to me when you wanna have a good idea as the person you're gonna lay in bed with and have sex with. You wanna see them first, you wanna see all that. It's like, yo, there's something more intimate than that that you do typically 3-4 times
going
a day.
Through your body.
So with that being said, for me, I try to know as much as I possibly could about what I'm putting into my body. You know what I mean? So that's why I say, go see what's happening. You know, you'll have a better understanding about, you know, why you feel the way you do. You know what I mean? Why you acting the way you acting. Maybe it's because of what you've been eating.
Right.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So.
Yep. All right. So y'all got anything else that y'all want to get out to everybody? If not, plug your Instagram, let them know where they can find you, if you got a website or anything else for your business. Taylor, go ahead.
Mine's simple. It's just Taylor Rose Allen, my full name. You can find that on Twitter, find that on Instagram. it's all under my full name, Taylor Rose Allen. Also, me and Colin just started a vegan pop-up. We'll be pulling up to different spots around Dallas, around Texas. Who knows, maybe we'll go other states soon, but it's Vintage Vegans. No, The Vintage Vegans. The dot Vintage dot Vegans.
Yeah.
You can also just go to my Instagram page, Taylor Rose Allen. You can find The Vintage Vegans on there as well. But follow us through that as well.
Word. And y'all, my my Instagram is plantbasedg.life. Website is plantbasedg.life. I'm on Twitter with it too a little bit, Facebook, but really Instagram is where you're gonna find most of my stuff at. But just messaging wise, what I would tell people is you have more control over your health and your lifestyle than you think, and it starts with the food that you put on your plate. You know, once you get, you know, that in order in terms of, you know, how you're treating yourself both internally and externally, things tend to line out the way that you want them to in a bigger fashion. So don't be scared to try something new. I've probably had 10 or 15 people that I'm close to that have transitioned to the vegan lifestyle. So
yeah, you've had a lot.
Yeah, so it's it's something that can be done, and I say that so that, you know, people know it's not just me, it's a lot of other cats who are doing the same thing. So give it a shot. You know, if nothing else, you know, what I would ask people is start off with just find you a vegan restaurant that looks, you know, appeasing and give a vegan meal a shot. You know, maybe that's the one thing that can kind of open up your eyes to doing something different. So don't be scared of trying new stuff. Like I said, this vegan thing is what that is.
I'll personally cook anybody who wants to even try a vegan meal.
Come there you on, go.
You just let me know.
There
I'll
you
cook
go. No excuses.
Cook whatever you want.
No excuses.
You buying their groceries?
Yeah, for sure. if you're willing to try it, I'll buy it for you. That's a problem.
There y'all go. All right, Vintage Vegans are handing out free meals, apparently.
Yeah.
We're going to cut that off, that number five. All right, this is Gassed Up or Passed Up, episode one of the new series, The Weekly. Yeah, I was supposed to do this 7-day joint, man, but I've been bullshitting. But this is episode one of the new series, Kicking It with Colin. Got a bunch of work coming to y'all this week with a bunch of entrepreneurs, fitness people, lifestyle people, lawyers, anything you can think of under the sun, we're going to get with them. So catch me next in the shop and with my boy Zell tomorrow. I'll be dropping this Thursday. I'm saying it right now to keep myself accountable. Dropping this tomorrow. Gassed Up or Passed Up. PlantbasedG.life.
Word.
Taylor Rose Allen. Much love. Vegan life.
Jesus. Out ya.